This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabiyihi al-Kareem. Alayhi afdalu salatu wa atamu taslim. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yasirli amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope that everyone is doing well today, inshallah. It is the 13th night of the month of Ramadan, and we are in the middle of the Surah of Yusuf alayhi salam, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and we hope to cover this Surah, Surah Al-Ra'd, and Surah Ibrahim today, inshallah ta'ala. I'm going to ask if you feel there's a need to continue doing Q&A sessions. If not, then that gives us more time for our tafsir and less time for Q&A, or maybe we can dedicate every other day to some Q&A, inshallah, because I really don't like rushing through it, and I don't like rushing through answering people's questions, and I don't like rushing through teaching, and it just is what it is. So just let me know what you think in the comment section, inshallah ta'ala. Today we're going to continue from where we left off. So yesterday we said that we would continue from where Yusuf alayhi salam is in the home of the Aziz, and the wife of the minister, she wants to prove to the women of society, because some rumors had started to, circulate within society that she, was having an affair or something was happening within the home. And so she wanted to prove to them that, to the other women in society, that Yusuf alayhi salam was extremely good looking. And it is difficult for someone who would be in her situation to basically not give in, or to just control themselves. And, the beauty of it, when you think of Islam, and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, taught us about our deen, this situation technically wouldn't arise. It wouldn't happen if we, just follow the sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, that which is found within the Quran. So my brothers and sisters, we see that Yusuf alayhi salam is in the home of the minister, and the minister of the wife, the wife of the minister invites the women of the town to come over and to, be with them and have some food, okay? And she invites them over, and they come in and they're served, a plate of something, fruit and so on. And, as they're told, typically when you're invited to someone, who is noble, you're invited to their place, you don't just, sit down and start eating and help yourself. You come in, you sit down, there's protocol, and you wait for it. I remember when I was a student in Medina, we used to go sometimes to, visit some of the princes. We used to, sit in their gatherings, and we would walk in and sit down and wait. And then, they would come in, sit down, they would speak to us, and then, food or refreshments would be served. And then, we'd have a discussion, and then some more refreshments like dates and coffee and tea and stuff like that. And then food would be served afterwards. And, everyone would then be told, okay, you can proceed to having food. So we would go and eat food. And so the wife of the minister, she invites these women over, and the food is in front of them. And then she says, okay, you may begin. And so they begin. And as they pick up the fruit or whatever they're about to eat, wife commands Yusuf alayhi salam to come out and walk in front of them. Okay. So he comes out and he walks in front of the women. And when they see him, they're in such awe, like, wow, subhanAllah, that, they have, they're holding like a knife or something in their hand, and they end up cutting, themselves. They don't cut their hands off. Some people misunderstand this, and they think that, they cut their hands off. No, they didn't cut their hands off. They just, the knife just slipped, and like, ooh, like, it's basically a wake-up call, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waking us up. So sometimes hardship is a good thing, right? Because you're looking at something you're not supposed to be focusing so much on, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that knife slip, and it reminds us, ouch, I did something wrong, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And so, the women, they were like, oh, this, he's like an angel. This is amazing. This guy is just next level, subhanAllah. So the minister, he felt, you know what, this isn't right. Like, this is going to create issues. Now society is talking about it. So he ends up imprisoning Yusuf alayhi salam. Long story short, Yusuf is in prison. There's two other inmates with him. Both of them have dreams. Yusuf alayhi salam interprets both of their dreams. When they get out, one of them, he ends up being one of the servants to the king, or an advisor to the king. And so Yusuf alayhi salam, over some time, he's still in prison, and the king has a dream. And he sees, you know, seven cows that are really big, you know, as in have eaten well, and seven that are really skinny, and so on and so forth. And he wants his dream interpreted. And so the typical, you know, behavior, anyone who is going to be an advisor to a king or an assistant to a king, or even a servant to a king, is going to want to, you know, get recognized so that they can move up in rank. Okay, society was all about ranks. And so the person who was in prison with Yusuf alayhi salam, who was released, was working for, you know, the king. He says, well, I know someone that can interpret your dream, and he's an honest, truthful, trustworthy person. And so the advisors that were there, they're like, we don't understand what this dream means. And he says, I'll go and get you the answer for the dream. So he goes to Yusuf alayhi salam, who's still in prison, and he asks Yusuf to interpret the dream. Yusuf alayhi salam asks about his honor, right? He interprets a dream, and then, you know, he goes back, and then the king is amazed by this, and he summons him, and Yusuf alayhi salam is like, no, I don't get out of jail free, right? I'm not just going to be released from prison because I interpreted a dream. I want to be released from prison because I was innocent, and I didn't deserve to be in prison in the first place. And that goes to show us the patience of Yusuf alayhi salam, once again, how patient he is. You know, any one of us who was put in prison unjustly, right? If we were found or proven to be either, actually before that, even before being proven before being proven innocent, Yusuf alayhi salam was summoned to be released from prison because he did a good deed, right? So, khalas, you can go, you're good now, you can leave. But he was like, no, my honor, right? My honor. I was in prison for something I didn't do. And subhanAllah, I'll say this, you know, having experienced something similar to that, you know, way back when I was a student in Medina, you know, dealing with people, dealing with, you know, living in another country and going through the hardships of it, you know, sometimes things happen unjustly. And so Yusuf alayhi salam, he says, you know, I'm in a different land. You know, these are not my people. I was taken here. I was brought here, and I was treated this way. And you put me in prison. I want my name to be cleared. And so the king, you know, summoned him now to clear his name. Khalas, you know, you're free. You're out. And he was appointed as the minister of agriculture. Okay, the minister of agriculture. Why? Because the interpretation of the dream meant that there would be, you know, a number of years of drought. And then, a number of years of prosperity and goodness, and then a number of years of drought, and then a number of years of goodness once again. And so the king felt, you know what, since he interpreted the dream and he understands what is to come, then who is better to put in that position other than the person who understands what is actually going to happen to us? So Yusuf alayhi salam is released from prison, and he's made a minister within the lands of Egypt. And then fast forward over some time, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they come to Egypt because they needed food. They needed provisions. The drought was happening. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, many years had passed since he had seen his brothers. And the way it would happen is every person that came would present a camel full of gifts to the king, and they would receive a camel load of food that they could take back with them to their families and so on. And so the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam came, each one of them with a camel, except for Binyamin. Binyamin didn't come. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he inquired about this, and he said, go back, right, and bring your brother, and I'll give you another full load, right? I'll give you that full load. And so they were like, oh, this is an amazing deal, right? We're going to get double the amount. And then when they returned, they realized they had all the food and all the gifts, all the gifts that they came to present was with them as well. And so they told their father, look, we're not lying, we're not cheating, send Binyamin with us. Yaqub alayhi salam, he was like, nah, you know what? I really don't want to. Like, at this point in time, I can't really trust you guys anymore. And they're like, look, why would we lie to you? We brought all of the gifts back with us. And, you know, all we want to do is go back with Binyamin and bring more food. And so he was like, halas, go, right? That's it, go. And tawakkal ala Allah, he trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. And so they returned. And now what happens is Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, he orders the vessel or the cup, right, that the king would drink out of to be placed on the camel of Binyamin with the stuff and to make it seem as though he stole that cup. Now, some people say, Yusuf alayhi salam, why would he do this? He's a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why would he do something evil? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the surah that he was the one who inspired Yusuf alayhi salam to do this. This was the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for Yusuf to have Binyamin return or stay with him. And so it's a divine thing that was done. It's not like, you know, a prophet was acting unjustly. He was doing what was commanded to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to complete this story, or in order to complete the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as per what was supposed to happen. And so the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they go back and they're like, listen, Binyamin, he stole, he took something, and, you know, you're going to need to come with us, right? You're going to need to come with us. And so the father of Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, there was a lot of back and forth that was going on, and he sent them back and he said, listen, go back. The older brother, he decided, no, I'm not going to go back. I'm going to stay here. I'm too ashamed, too embarrassed to go, and so on and so forth. And what we see happening in the end, subhanAllah, is with the patience of Yaqub alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him decades later, he was extremely patient, but you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that when they returned with the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam, and they were told by the minister, who was the minister? Their brother, right? And he told them, you know, I'm your brother, and look, you did this to me. And so they brought the shirt to their father, and they placed it over his head so that he could smell the scent of Yusuf alayhi salam, granting him ease, making him feel comfortable and happy once again that Yusuf alayhi salam is alive and he's okay, he's well. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, designs the story in a way that the brothers, they knew that they were wrong. And that was their means of submission. That was their way of submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After many years of going through, you know, lying and cheating and stealing and not telling the truth and so on, and keeping that a secret from their parents for so many years, they realized afterwards that they should submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that their brother was honest and was truthful and was a just person. And, you know, they ended up all returning with their mother, with their father, and with all the brothers. And they returned to Egypt and they bow down to Yusuf alayhi salam. That was a form of showing, you know, thanks and gratitude and welcoming to someone of nobility. And it was permitted during their time. It is not permitted in our Sharia and our, you know, the laws of Islam that we follow. We're not allowed to bow down or to prostrate to anybody, but they did that. And that completed the full cycle of the story from the very third, the third verse in the surah of how the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam was interpreted. And he then saw 11 stars, those were the 11 brothers, and the sun and the moon, his mother and his father, and some say the father and the mother, all of them bowing down to Yusuf alayhi salam, coming to Egypt and living over there with him, peacefully, in a very tranquil, very comfortable, you know, lifestyle. We move on to Surah Ar-Ra'd. Surah Ar-Ra'd. What does this mean? Okay, so Surah Ar-Ra'd is the 13th surah of the Quran, and it is titled The Thunder. Doom, doom, doom. Right? Thunder. When we hear it, it's like, ah, it scares us, right? So thunder, I remember as a child when we would hear thunder, and even nowadays with our children, and I'm sure with your children as well, or if you are children and you're watching this, sometimes we feel scared when we hear thunder. And that's okay, that's normal, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. It's a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't feel scared, and even if you do feel scared, it's okay to sometimes feel scared. As we get older, you know, we realize things and that fear goes away. So don't worry, everything will be fine, insha'Allah ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins Surah Al-Ra'd with a very interesting verse, verse number 2. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how he raised the heavens without any pillars. Allah الذي رفع السماوات بغير عمد ترونها. It is Allah who raised the heavens without pillars. And the heavens here meaning the skies. And what's really interesting, subhanAllah, when you look at the skies, and I love the skies in the summer, it's just amazing. Love, 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 love the skies in the summer. I love the summer. It's just, how is it staying up? And I know people say, but it's just gas and vapor, you know, and it's, you know, the density of the air and the clouds are floating and so on. But look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put such beautiful things in the sky for us as well, right? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ right there. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. This is thanks to my wife, right? Alhamdulillah. Right, she put that there. She says, you need a little bit of you know, beautiful scenery going on in your background. I have a nice poster. I want to stick it up over here as well that I got from Malaysia and I've been keeping for so many years from one of the trips I made to Malaysia, a beautiful poster that I want to put up behind me, inshallah ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he raised the sky, such amazing things, right? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, right? As we mentioned, Allah is the one who does things. He's able and has the ability and the power to make the skies flow. And subhanAllah, when you see it flowing, sometimes you even see the airplane in the sky and you wonder to yourself, something so heavy. I can understand a bird that hardly weighs anything, but an airplane that is so heavy. And yes, I know, I'm not dumb, right? People will then message me afterwards, keyboard warriors, right? They're going to message and say, come on, man, it's just pure physics and this and that. I'm like, yes, I know. I have a degree as a mechanic as well. I understand how these things work. But the point is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the air flow in a certain way that it can lift something up so high into the sky, even though it has such immense amount of weight. That is from the power and might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you understand it or not, that's the way I understand it. That's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries to get us to understand it. Then we need to recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he mentions that here, and that's exactly what he transitions off into in the next few verses. Verse number 3 and 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he is the one who spread out the earth and placed firm mountains and rivers upon it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the sky and, you know, how they're there and they're suspended without any pillars, like they're being held in the sky. There's no pillars, nothing holding it up. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the earth and he put mountains and rivers and he placed them there so that they hold the earth in place, right? And he created fruits of every kind in pairs. Allahu Akbar, fruit, right? Fruit salad, amazing, amazing, amazing thing to break your fast on, right? You have a date, you have some water, and then you have fruit salad. Oh man, I went to the store the other day and I forgot to pick up ruwafza. I gotta go pick some up tomorrow, inshallah, right? Home without ruwafza during the month of Ramadan is a mushkila, right? It's a problem. You gotta have ruwafza. And those of you who don't know what it is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you to have friends who will introduce you to ruwafza. All right, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then shows us here that he created the earth and the rivers and the mountains and so on, and he created the fruits of every single kind, all these beautiful flavors and colors and tastes and textures, and some are juicy and some are dry and some are smooth and some are hard and some have peels and some don't have peels. Allahu Akbar, it's amazing. When we lived in Malaysia, I remember certain fruits like the mangosteen, right? You pull it open and, ooh, Allahu Akbar, so tasty, right? And then you have rambutan, right? Which is, you know, the hairy fruit. Kind of like a lychee or lychee, however you want to say it. I say lychee. And then subhanAllah, you open it up and it's so sweet, so beautiful. And then you have durian that smells so horrible. Allahu Akbar, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created something that smells so strong, so like difficult to bear for someone who's not used to it. But then when you put the fruit in your mouth, you're like, whoa, this is like two complete extremes. Like you go from absolutely crazy, unbearable scent to unbelievably tasty, amazing, the king of fruit, right? Durian. And so subhanAllah, when you think of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so many different fruits and vegetables and things on earth for us to cherish and enjoy. SubhanAllah, I can't sit for too long. It's hard to sit down. Allahu Akbar. My back is killing me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He covers the day with night. Surely in these are signs for those who reflect. Right? He covers the day with night. So the daytime, it's bright and you can see everything. Right? You think of it, if you've ever gone to a mountainous region or an area where there's a lot of mountains. I remember we went to Whistler. You have these really high mountains, or Banff, right? Or Jasper. Really, really high mountains. SubhanAllah, you see them. They're just towering over you. You take selfie pictures and you see this beautiful mountain behind you. And throughout the day, you're like, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It's amazing. So great. And at night, when the night comes, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He covers the day with night. Covers up the world. And so when the night comes, it gets so dark. These huge mountains that are like piercing into the sky, you can't even see them because it's so dark. You wouldn't even know that there's a mountain right in front of your face. That's how dark it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in the Quran speaks the truth and tells us about this. If only we were to understand, if only we could, you know, subhanAllah, just comprehend the greatness and the power and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَفِي الْأَرْضِ, and on earth, there are different neighboring tracts, gardens of grapevines, various crops, palm trees, some stemming from the same root, others standing alone. They are irrigated with the same water, yet we make some taste better than others. Surely in this are signs for those who understand. SubhanAllah, when you think of it, some of the trees, some of the plants, some of them are like, ugh, they don't even look good, right? Forget about eating the fruits on them. And others look so amazing and tasty and juicy, and you just can't resist. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He gave it to them from the same waters, right? It came from, you know, the same foods. They're from the same, you know, plants sometimes, but the fruits differ. And that's a sign for us, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes we come from the same family, but the fruits differ. You might have children and your children are different. Yes, no doubt, we're all different. Every single one of us is different. But you might wonder to yourself, one of the children ended up being someone who was raised and took on Islam, raised upon Islam and embraced Islam. And others, you know, were raised upon Islam and rejected Islam. You know, that's the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He shows us that through the life of Nuh alayhi salam. We took that story yesterday. Nuh alayhi salam called his son. He asked his son, you know what, embark upon this ship. You're going to drown. You're going to die. There's no way that you're going to survive this. This is it. If you want success, you need to embark upon this ship, but you have to believe in Allah. And what does he say? Ah, I'm sorry, dad. I'm good. Don't worry about me. And what happened? He drowned in that water. That was the son of Nuh alayhi salam, the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that's the case with a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what about us? So my brothers and sisters, remember, we could be from the same family who ate the same food as our siblings and ate the same, drank the same waters or the same ruwaza, and we fasted on the same days and we sat at the same kitchen table, and you may have, you know, even slept in the same bedrooms. You shared rooms together, right? And, you know, you even shared clothing together. Once your clothing outgrew, you pass it on to the younger sibling, or the older sibling's clothing was passed on to you. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, look, that's just the way it is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us, to make it easy for our families and our siblings, and to allow us to be a means of guiding others as well as our family to the straight path. Ameen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let's move to verse number 8 and 9. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah knows what every female bears and what increases and decreases in the wombs. And with Him, everything is determined with precision. Look at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, you know, the womb. And He's talking about how the child who is in the womb of the mother, right? The child that's in the womb of the mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every female, He knows what every female bears and what increases and decreases in the womb. And I wanted to share an example here, my brothers and sisters. There's a brother and a sister in our community. You know, subhanAllah, they went through a really difficult time with their pregnancy. And there are quite a few people who have gone through difficult times, you know, at least at least maybe once a month, someone comes in or a couple comes in and, you know, they're asking for, you know, dua, they're asking, you know, permissibility on certain things and advice and consultation because of their pregnancy, or the pregnancy that the wife is going through. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, shows us that here in the Quran, He is the knower of the seen and the unseen, all great, most exalted. You know, in that example, subhanAllah, the brother and his wife came in, it was their first child, and there were so many complications, like you can't even imagine how many complications. It hurt. I could see the pain in that brother and his sister, that brother and the sister, right, the brother and his wife. So much pain, so much hurt there, you know, finally, you know, she got pregnant and now there's so many complications. The doctors are saying you need to abort this marriage, you know, not the marriage, the child, right? You need to abort the child. You need to, figure this out. You need to get some counseling. You need to, and subhanAllah, they were giving them proof and proof and proof upon proof of why they felt from a medical, you know, perspective, the child should not, you know, be born. However, subhanAllah, there was no evidence for this to be the case Islamically, as in the child had already you know, passed a certain term. The pregnancy had already passed that term. And it would not be permissible for us to abort it or to give the okay for that sister to do that, to have an abortion or, you know, to go through some sort of medical procedure, not to have the child. And I remember, you know, seeking advice, and I've done this quite often, subhanAllah, with some doctors around the world and some scholars around the world who are doctors, medical doctors as well, and asking them their advice, is it permissible in this case? And none of them could find any reason for it. Long story short, my brothers and sister, the child was born, alhamdulillah. Yes, there were some complications, but nothing near what the doctors were saying could be a possibility of a complication. So this mother and father was, you know, they were convinced when they came in that they were going to have an abortion. But subhanAllah, when they left my office, you know, we went back and forth. I consulted with many others. And then they ended up having the child. And subhanAllah, it's amazing because, you know, they were told the child would not live more than maybe a week or 2 or 3 weeks, if it even survived through the pregnancy. And alhamdulillah, the baby is still alive now. That's what, quite some time has passed, right? So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control and He knows best, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this is where He tells us that He knows everything that's within us, within the mother, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if it's a boy or if it's a girl. Are there twins in there? Is the child going to be okay? Is there some sort of illness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written for whatever is going to happen to that child in this life, 60, 70, 80 years from now, is already written, you know, and we don't know. We have no idea. We don't even know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's going to happen 50, 60, 70 years down the line from the birth, from the time of the birth of that child. Allahu Akbar. That's absolutely amazing. Let's move on, inshaAllah ta'ala. Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 12 and 13. Let's look at verse number 12 and 13. Where is it? Technology. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions something to do with the Ra'd, with the actual thunder itself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the one who shows you lightning, inspiring you with hope and fear, and produces heavy clouds. You know, when we see lightning, subhanAllah, we might be scared, right? And we mentioned this earlier, a child might feel scared when they see the lightning. However, I remember watching this documentary a while back. I used to live in Southeast Asia, absolutely love Southeast Asia, love Malaysia, love Singapore, love Indonesia, you know, countries in that region, Hong Kong, subhanAllah, amazing, amazing, amazing. Brunei, wish to go to Brunei, inshaAllah, sometime soon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and make that possible. You know, so many things that we've seen, you know, around the world. And one thing that's really interesting, and I saw this documentary, it was filmed in Singapore from, you know, one of the higher floors of a hotel in Singapore overlooking the water. And it was a very, very slow motion recording of the lightning. So it was like lightning showers happening in the distance in Singapore. And I remember when we were living in Malaysia, subhanAllah, when it rains, like it pours really, really hard. And the lightning is just pow, pow, all the time. You'll see it, subhanAllah, everywhere. And then the thunder that follows behind it is like so strong and powerful. But you get used to it, and it's amazing. I remember when we were in Malaysia, and I would love to go back and just do this. Go back to our apartment on a really, really heavy rainfall day, right? A day when the rain is falling down really heavily, and open those balcony doors. If my wife is watching, she knows exactly what we're talking about, and just sit there with the rain pouring down. It's amazing. I used to love doing that, subhanAllah. And our children used to love it as well. They used to sit there with the doors open and the rain would be falling, and it's so nice, and the smell of the rain and the water. Oh, Allahu Akbar. Absolutely amazing. So I'm telling you this because the lightning in that documentary, they recorded it in slow motion in order to capture all the different lightning bolts coming down. It's like all at once, like showers of lightning. I know the hotel is called Marina Bay Sands. I know I've been there, alhamdulillah. But, you know, most people don't know, so I didn't say it, right? So, but, you know, the lightning's coming down, absolutely amazing. People would record it. Even me, when I see the lightning in that region, subhanAllah, you try and record it, you try to capture a picture. It's just absolutely amazing. And look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He says, He is the one who shows you lightning, inspiring hope and fear within us. Inspiring hope and fear within us. Fear, yes, we know, we get scared of it. But hope, because when we see it, we're like, Allahu Akbar, this is amazing. This is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of us can replicate this, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and produces heavy clouds. The thunder glorifies His praises. So the thunder itself, وَيُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ As do the angels in awe of Him, in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so, oh, Sister Nurul, that's you. Making you miss home. Yes, let's make a trip to Singapore altogether, inshallah ta'ala, right? And by the way, the beef rendang, Allahu Akbar. I ate the whole tray at iftar. I ate the whole tray, subhanAllah. Absolutely amazing. I wanted more for suhoor. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Allahu Akbar. Absolutely amazing. Okay. So yes, missing home. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the lightning, what do we hear after it? Thunder. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us there that the thunder itself is praising Allah. So children, when you get scared of the thunder, don't. Because all the thunder is showing us that the lightning that came produces this sound, and the sound is actually praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the praise of the lightning, the thunder and the lightning combined, they're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ The thunder glorifies His praises. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ As do the angels in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sends thunderbolts, striking with them whoever He wills, yet they dispute about Allah, and He is tremendous in might. No doubt, my brothers and sisters, when we see the lightning and we hear the thunder, it should remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, it's such an amazing thing, subhanAllah. Yes, it's dangerous, no doubt. But it reminds us of the power and the might and the strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, at the same time, the sophistication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. And I always used to think of this because I'm a mechanic and I like to think of cars and stuff like that. If you're in a vehicle and lightning strikes it, technically, if everything is perfect and everything is fine, and again, this is the sophistication of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there would be no issues. Like being in an airplane that is struck by lightning. It happens quite often. Airplanes get struck by lightning, but the lightning bolt just travels through it and out the other end, and khalas, the plane keeps going. And that's the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, He created something that we get so scared of, while at the same time it's so amazing to think of how Allah has made it such that the lightning can travel through different items without harming the items or the contents of the item. So for example, if you're in a car and it's raining heavily or something, and you know the electrical wire comes out of I don't know, it breaks and it comes down and touches your car, la qadar Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you and protect you. But it still is possible that the electricity, right, the voltage from it would travel over the surface of the car and into the ground. And you sitting inside your car, stay inside your car, are perfectly fine. Just stay in your car, stop the car, don't touch anything, just wait. Wait for help. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, knows best. Also, one of the things that, you know, that we learn, subhanAllah, is that if that is the case and you need to abort or you need to get out of the, you know, of the vehicle, then you jump. You do not touch the vehicle and the ground at the same time. That's the sophistication of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely amazing. All right, let's move on. Subhanallah. Verse number 20 to 24, okay, or 22, 23, 24. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they are those who endure patiently seeking their Lord's pleasure, establish prayer, donate from what we have provided for them secretly and openly, and respond to evil with good. It is they who will have the ultimate abode. What is that? The garden of eternity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jannatu adnin yadkhulunaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which they will enter along with the righteous among their parents, spouses, and descendants. So if we want paradise and we want all of these things, this is what we need to do. We need to make sure that we seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we do, we try to do seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We try to establish prayer in our lives. And we donate. My brothers and sisters, we need to donate, donate, donate. You want paradise? Donate. You want, you know, Jannah? Donate. You want to be shaded on the Day of Judgment? Donate. You want to have ease, you know, in this life? Donate. You want to feel the simplicity of life? Donate. You want to remove arrogance from your heart and from your mind, from your life? Donate. My brothers and sisters, it's so important to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, it cleanses us of this dunya as well as in the hereafter. Okay? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Salamun alaykum bima sabartum fa ni'ma uqba ad-dar. Peace be upon you for your perseverance. How excellent is the ultimate abode. My brothers and sisters, we may not have much in this world. We may not have much, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we are going to be patient with what we have. He knows that we can, but we have to, right? We have to be patient with what we have. We have to stand strong in salah. We need to establish our prayers. The first thing that we are going to be questioned about. Why? Because we're doing it for Allah. People say, why do you pray? You're not getting anything in return. No, I am getting something in return. I am standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting to Him and to Him alone, leaving the rest of the world behind me. It doesn't matter at this point in time. As-salatu khayrun min ad-dunya, right? As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. When we're sleeping, are we breaking any rules? No. Are we committing a sin? No, we're sleeping. In fact, while we are sleeping, we're so pure. Think of this. While we're sleeping, we're so pure that even if we miss our salah because we were sleeping and we didn't hear the alarm, you know, we were in a heavy sleep and we missed the alarm, we didn't hear it, we are not even held accountable for that. When we wake up, then we just pray the prayer. We're not sinned for missing that prayer because we were sleeping. So when you're sleeping, you're in such a pure state. Yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in the adhan, as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, that salah is better than sleep. Even though in sleep you're pure, you're not doing anything wrong. You're just sleeping. Your body is resting. You're clean, you're pure, there's no sins. Alhamdulillah, everything is perfectly fine. But as-salah khayrun min an-nawm. Salah is even better than that. And you might think to yourself, yeah, but if I get up, I might, you know, swear, I might do something wrong. And this, no, no, no. Salah is better than everything, even the most pure of things. As-salah, as-salah. Right? وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was passing away. And what was his advice to the people? Salah, salah. Establish your salah. Be mindful, be conscious, be aware of your salah. So someone keeps asking, what time do we break our fast? What time do we break our fast? Look, I don't know where you live, so I can't tell you. If you're in Australia, you may not even be fasting right now, or you may have just started your fast. Over here in Toronto tonight, I think it's at 8:29, if I'm not mistaken, or 8:30. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best wherever you are. So don't keep asking us, you know, otherwise we're going to have to, okay, Toronto, khalas, 8:30, all right, inshallah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here in verse number 28, okay, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that our hearts will find comfort. Our hearts find comfort in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are on edge, or when you are nervous, or when you something's happening, you can't sit still, find comfort with yourself by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who believe and whose hearts find comfort in the remembrance of Allah, surely in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find comfort. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, Bismillah, find comfort in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim, or astaghfirullah, 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 or in the recitation of the Quran, recite the Quran and you will find comfort in it. Subhanallah, you take your mushaf that's in front of you during the month of Ramadan and you open it up anywhere, right? And you start reciting. وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Look at that. Random ayah I opened up, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about tuma'nina, about finding tranquility and sakina in our hearts. And he says, وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he's brought to us, it's glad tidings. Allah has given us glad tidings of what? وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ. So that our hearts would find, Allahu Akbar, amazing that we found this ayah randomly in the Quran. And you know that this happens all the time. وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. And true victory is not with anything other than with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. That's absolutely amazing that we opened the Quran and we got that verse. Okay, so you feel anxious, you feel issues, you have problems in life, you want to find contentment and ease, search it in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by remembering Allah. Let's move to Surah Ibrahim. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us right at the beginning, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Ra. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka litukhrijan nasa minadh dhulumati ilan nur bi'izni rabbihim ila siratil azizil hamid. Alif Lam Ra. This is a book which we have revealed to you, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that you may lead people out of darkness and into light by the will of your Lord, by the will of their Lord, to the path of the Almighty, the Praiseworthy. Alhamdulillah. An amazing verse to start a surah titled or named after one of the most amazing human beings to ever walk the face of this earth. Who is that? Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. We're not going to take all of the verses, but I want to go to verse number 22 and 23. Verse number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here something interesting about shaitan. Listen to this. He says, and Satan will say on the day of judgment, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانِ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and shaitan, Satan, will say to his followers, after the judgment has been passed, okay, so after someone has already received their judgment, shaitan will say to this person, indeed Allah has made you a true promise. What is that promise? He warned us in this life, if you live according to what Shaitan wants, you will have what Shaitan is getting. You will have Jahannam. If you live according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, you will have paradise. All right. So that's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After the decree is made, as in after our judgment is passed on the day of judgment, Shaitan will come to those who he will speak to, not to every single one of us in this verse, right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us protected from Shaitan, the accursed. And Shaitan will say, indeed, Allah has made you a true promise that you will go to paradise if you believe and you will go to Jahannam if you disbelieve. I too made you a promise. Shaitan will tell us he made us a promise as well. And he says, look at what he says. He says, I too made you a promise, but I failed you. I failed you. I promised you something, but too bad. My promise was fake. My promise was false. But the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. And so Shaytan will come to the person and will say, Allah promised you something. I also promised you something, but I failed you. I do not have any authority over you. I only called you and you responded to me. So do not blame me. Blame yourselves. I cannot save you, nor can you save me. Indeed, I denounce your previous association of me with Allah in loyalty. Surely the wrongdoers will suffer a painful torment. Look at how on the day of judgment, after the judgment is passed, Shaitan will go to the person or to the people and say, hey, I promised you, but I failed you, and you can't save me, and I can't save you. So too bad, buddy. You just listened to me. Ha ha, you got played. Basically, that's what Shaitan is saying. You got played. So my brothers and sisters, don't get played by Shaitan. Don't let Shaitan play us. Don't let Shaitan try to distract us. Be firm upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us. And if it is difficult, bear it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us something even better in the hereafter. And then the last part of the surah that I wanted to take is verses number 32 to 34. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us from his creations, you know, there's a lot of things, a list of his favors, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us on earth. In fact, it's not the last thing. I want to mention one more thing after this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, you know, his favors and his blessings and so on. And then the next thing I want to mention in the next few verses is Ibrahim alayhi salam and his dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect his children. وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he has granted you all that you asked him for. Everything we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, Allah will grant it to us, either now or later or in Jannah, right? Later on. If you tried to count Allah's blessings, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you were to try to enumerate, try to count, try to add up and tabulate all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot do that, my brothers and sisters. There are too many for us to even comprehend. And so here we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us, you will never be able to add them up. Indeed, humankind or humanity is truly unfair, truly ungrateful. He then says, remember Ibrahim. Remember Ibrahim. This is a surah Ibrahim, right? He says, remember Ibrahim when he prayed. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. My Lord, make this city, the city of Mecca, used to be called Becca, right? Make this city secure and safe and keep me and my children away from the worship of idols. Allahu Akbar. Keep us away from the worship of idols. Here we see a dua being made by Ibrahim alayhi salam to help Mecca stay safe and to be secured. And so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is receiving this dua from Ibrahim, no doubt Mecca will be safe and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save the people of Mecca and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But he then says, He makes a dua, keep me and my children away from the worship of idols. This is important, my brothers and sisters. He then says, Rabbi innahunna adlalna kathiran minan nas. My Lord, they have caused many people to go astray. Who? The idols. People worship them, right? So whoever follows me is with me, and whoever disobeys me, then surely you are still all forgiving, most merciful. فَمَن تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us this dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He then says, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِن ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِندَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُم مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Powerful dua. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, our Lord, I have settled some of my offspring in a barren valley near your sacred home. Just imagine, Ibrahim leaves baby Ismail and Hajar in the middle of nowhere with nothing. And Ibrahim alayhi salam calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I've left my family there. So take care of them, look after them. And he says, near your sacred house, our Lord, so that they may establish prayer. Ibrahim alayhi salam left his family. He sacrificed leaving his family there so that they can establish prayer. Allahu Akbar. Who sacrifices leaving their child in the middle of a desert and leaving their wife alone with nothing for the sake of Allah? For what? For me and you. If you're watching this now and you're a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us Ibrahim alayhi salam sacrificed on that day for you and for me, so that we can believe, so that we can have prayer, and so that we can also be from those who established salah. So my brothers and sisters, don't take this deen lightly. This is amazing, and this is divine, and this is from a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they may establish prayer. And then he says, so make the hearts of believing people incline towards them and provide them with fruits, so perhaps they will be thankful, so that his family would be looked after. Our Lord, you certainly know what we conceal and what we reveal. Nothing on earth or in heaven is hidden from Allah. All praise is with Allah, who has blessed me with Ismail and Ishaq. In my old age, look at that. Ibrahim is making dua, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have blessed me with Ismail and Ishaq in such an old age. And there's like a span of like 13 years between the two of them. My Lord is indeed the hearer of all prayers. If you need something, my brothers and sisters, ask Allah now. This is the time. Make dua. My Lord, make me and those believers of my descendants keep up prayer. Ibrahim made dua for you to be able to upkeep your prayer and your salah. Don't let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala down. Don't let the dua of Ibrahim be wasted where you don't pray your prayers. Pray your salah, my brothers and sisters. And then he says, our Lord, Rabbana, wa taqabbal dua. Our Lord, accept my prayers, accept my dua. Our Lord, forgive me, my parents. And subhanAllah, look at this. We say this dua in our salah. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاء رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, you know, that we are asking dua not only for ourselves, but for our parents and for all of the believers. وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. Until the day of judgment will pass. Jazakum Allahu khayran, my brothers and sisters. That is all the time that we have. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of you and to make this halaqa today one that is beneficial to every single one of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our fasts and to forgive us of our sins and to bless us with the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. Ameen. And to make us from amongst those who establish prayer, who pay zakah, who give sadaqat, who give donations, and who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the last day. Ameen. Wa jazakum Allahu khayran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.